Well, guys, it's so good to have you here this evening as we take some time to think through things, and it's a little bit of a different evening. Normally, at this point in time, I would be asking you to open up your Bible, and I'm definitely going to quote some verses, probably at least one space I'll ask you to open, and you can follow along or you can take notes, however that works best. But tonight, we want to take just a specific time to talk about UFOs, kind of UAPs, kind of the new kind of term for that, and what the Bible has to say about this. You know, I find myself thinking about it, and so just to make it clear, you know, as we think about it, you know, I have this image up there, and sometimes, you know, I kind of make it dark so I can make the words pop out, but just so you can kind of just understand where my brain is, you know, I kind of have a picture of a man who's looking at a UFO, and yet he's taking, you know, the Bible itself in many ways and making that the lens. In fact, I'll lighten one up there if it's helpful just for a moment so you can kind of just imagine that in many ways we're being invited to look at the world, to look at everything that's there. I'll even kind of, you know, was playing with it in different ways. At one point I thought I'm going to do a cartoon one of it. But either way, you kind of get the idea of this idea that we want to be those who say, God, we wanted to look at life through the lens that you have given us, through truth. Jesus told us that we would know this truth and it would set us free. So I'm going to ask God's help in that, ask for his work, then I'm going to walk you through this a little bit in thought, and time being hopefully on our side, I think it will be, we'll end with some space that you can ask questions, and I'm hoping you do. I hope you have questions, because I'm really curious what you have in this. I mean, obviously the questions that we're looking for tonight would be in this, but I will also just might say that I might answer like, I have no idea. You know, so just FYI, that might be where we go. But let's go right for our God right now and ask that he would help us. God, thank you for your word. We believe that you have given this to us. God, we want to look at everything through your truth and Jesus just holding out to you what you said, that if we know this, if we know your truth, it would set us free. God, I ask for that now, that you would work that in very, very real ways. Rescue us from anything that would just kind of pull us away from you and your ways. Cause your truth to be absolutely clear to us in a way that we get it and understand. But God, meet us together as we just think these things through. Help our hearts and minds to be clear, our ears to be open. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we begin, I want to say it as clear as I can, that I solidly believe that when we think about the idea of aliens or extraterrestrial life, I believe that aliens, as far as we know them, it's demonic, that it really is demonic, or it's imaginary, somebody made it up, or it's something natural or military, but obviously very, very clearly wanting to just say this understanding of what it is. Now, having said that, it's not like new information. I mean, I hope it's not for us here. We've talked about it before. In fact, we've encouraged you guys. There's a movie that was put out called Alien Intrusion. I'm actually in it, which is kind of crazy, you know, and so, you know, in this movie, this is what we said. We kind of walked it through in biblical ways and logical ways and just invited people to see this in that way. And so, again, it's always available. We have copies of the DVDs. You can get it. You can find it online. And so, certainly, this isn't brand new information. And yet, I found myself thinking about it. Obviously, we just did it. We just walked through this UFO festival that is so prevalent within our city. And I'd actually been thinking about doing this message. I kind of had almost thought about doing it last week. And it's like, no, we needed to focus on revivals. And so I thought, well, we'll do it tonight. I mean, it's kind of after the fact, but it still is in many ways inviting us to say, how do we see this? Like, how is this whole thing working? In the midst of this actual last UFO festival, we actually had a gathering. Some of you saw it. I think it was a full-page article in the paper. Does anybody actually get the paper any longer? But, yeah, I was out there, you know, in the midst of it. But basically kind of a statement, you know, from believers and pastors in the midst of it. I was a part of it. You know, I think it was one of the first ones that kind of whatever spoke. And so, yeah, we just kind of made some quick statements, mostly online. It was mostly an online audience. I think we had at one point, I think it was 10,000 views kind of worldwide, you know, so I mean, just kind of get a chance to kind of make these statements and wanting to walk in it. So these kinds of things move me to think, okay, I wanted to make sure it's clear, but there's more. I mean, I don't know if you're watching, I don't know how much you're paying attention, But we think about even just the movie that just came out from Steven Spielberg, kind of his new installment called Disclosure Day, and kind of this whole thing about aliens, kind of about what this is and kind of happening in our world. And he's made some pretty radical statements. I probably should have put some of them up on the screen, but he kind of really believes that if people would, you know, just kind of embrace this idea of aliens, that it could do severe damage and even just remove religion, remove Christianity, and kind of make it an inept thing in many ways, because he really thinks these are the answers, strongly as a believer in that. On top of that, we live in these days where the government has been releasing things, says they're going to release more videos and things in the midst of it. And so the world's kind of in this whole space. Again, I don't know how much you pay attention to that, but there's this constant debate about all of these things right now. And so it moves us just to think, okay, what is this? You know, I found myself thinking about all of these things, and maybe you already heard it, but I think about our vice president, J.D. Vance, and he just, when he said it in just a single sentence, and I loved it when he said it. He simply said, you know, I don't think they're aliens. I think they're demons. And I don't know about anybody else, but I heard that, and I thought, man, I want to say it that clearly. Like, I was incredibly impressed, and, you know, hoping it kind of stays there in him and those things. He said, you know, hey, as a vice president, he was going to look into it, but he says, that's where I am. Like, you know, I look on these things. I don't think they actually are aliens. I think what we're talking about are demons. And I just want to say, hey, that's exactly where I am. And that's exactly what we want to talk about this evening as we think about what this is. And so let's kind of think it through in just a way that hopefully is logical, but also just helpful. So the Bible says that there are no aliens. That's what it says. Okay, no, it doesn't. That you take it out of context, that's a word that says in Joel that, you know, that God's going to do a work, his people dwelling in Zion, and then Jerusalem shall be holy, and there'll be no aliens that ever pass through it again. And yet when the Bible uses that term, it's talking about foreigners, you know, illegal aliens, if you want to think about it, that are other people that never, that those things wouldn't be there. And so there is a space, but when the Bible uses that, that's what it's talking about. And so we need to begin here and just say, the Bible actually never addresses it. The Bible never says anything positively about life on other planets, or if there's life on other planets, nor does it ever say anything directly negatively about that. That when we think about what that was, and so as we think about it, it's just never mentioned in the space of it. And it's because of that reality that sometimes we could honestly say that good Christians do disagree. I mean, that they would, you know, find themselves in a different place because the Bible doesn't directly address this. Now, so tonight, that's not what we get to talk about, a direct message about it, but we're going to take just the truths of the Bible and through that lens, through kind of the lens that's here, say, okay, well, what would, if we look at it through this, what do we see? And so again, that's where we're going. Now, I think there's power there. And I think there is a solidness there, but I just want to back up and try to say this very, very well. Those things that God has revealed to us, we should stand on with all of our heart. I mean, that which God has told us, that he sent his son, that he's coming back again, that life and death revolves around him, that there is a judgment. These are not things up for grabs. These are not things that we can say, hey, we can disagree on. Now, this is truth. And where the Bible's absolutely clear, we should be absolutely clear. Like, we have no ground ever to say, well, I know the Bible says, but I see it differently. No, that's just never the space that we're meant to be. But when we come to things where the Bible doesn't specifically speak about it, and we have to approach it with truth, again, we just need to be careful and say, hey, I'm not stating this with the quality of, hey, this is what the Bible says. You know, you have no choice but to recognize it or leave it. You know, we're kind of taking truth and we're going to think that through. So as clear as I can say it, this is where I am. This is what I think is biblical. I think I can help you with it. I think I can help you get there. But at the end of the day, if you walked out of here and said, Jim, I'm still not on the same page with you, that's fine. I mean, again, this isn't like, okay, you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world. I mean, this isn't a truth that God has clearly articulated to us. So we began there with an understanding that it never actually mentions it. Now, all by itself, though, that's, at least for me, fairly informative. Because I honestly believe that if there are aliens on other planets and we were going to interact with them, I think God would have told us. I think that that's such a big reality about things, that if that was something that was going to happen, and he knows, right? I mean, this isn't like something God is guessing at. He created everything. He's over everything, heaven and earth. And so if that was something we would have, I think it would be there. I like the way, you know, it would tell it to us in Amos. Sure, the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Like, there's just not anything that he's working that he doesn't reveal to us so that we would know that. Or I like the way it tells us in Peter, where it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Here in this section, which I'm not going into in its entirety, he's talking about this. He's talking about God's truth that's given to us in Christ, that is by the glory and virtue that's in Jesus, we have this book. But I think I just want to focus in on that phrase, everything. Everything necessary for life and godliness is here. There's just not anything that God, that you would find yourself thinking, okay, well, God didn't give me something that I needed to know. If we needed to know, he told us. And if it was something that would be there, it would be something that would be in this space. So I'm kind of a simple person. This is kind of, you know, at least definitive for me. I just think, okay, if that was something we needed to know, if that was something that was going to happen, I just think God would have told us. I think that the Bible would have mentioned that. And all by itself, its absence is for me a space that would say, well, no, I don't think it is that. Let's add another thought to it, kind of even biblically. So if there were aliens on other planets, they wouldn't die here on planet Earth. Can we just say this as clear as we can? Like, we live in Roswell. I mean, this is the, you know, Roswell crash, you know, story that aliens crash landed on our planet and died. I just want to tell you biblically, if you're going to look at things through here, that's problematic. Because death, it's not evolutionary, it's creation. And death entered our world because of sin. It was sin that brought death into our world. We talked about it in Romans 5, that therefore justice through one man, sin entered the world through Adam, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men. So Adam sinned, and then so every person down in his heritage is now tainted by his sin. Now that affects our creation. But sin so much works in this, and so we're waiting for God to fix it, and he's going to fix even creation when he fixes us. We're looking to this incredible hope, but death comes from the curse that Adam and Eve had. If there were aliens on another planet, and if they would ever come here, it would make zero biblical sense that they would die. Like, that doesn't even work. I mean, that doesn't work because death isn't just something natural. Death is something that happens because of sin. And so our sin couldn't do that in their lives. It's one of those spaces that you would look and say, boy, that just doesn't even make sense. You know, there's others who kind of argue this, and I'm just going to just toss out this. I mean, for me, there is just a logic of saying, as you look at the lens, it's not there. Others would say other things. I mean, so it's this crazy idea. I mean, some look at even the physics of people traveling from other planets and its impossibility. I think that's fascinating, but I'll still stick with, hey, it just doesn't work biblically. Some would even think, because there is the whole Roswell crash site, and then for those who kind of get into this, there's actually many, many more. There's other supposed crashed aliens. And, you know, for those who look at it, it's like, what's up with the aliens? I mean, here they have ships that are supposed to travel, like, you know, all these light years and survive all the harshness of space, and they die on planet Earth. I mean, how is all of that? Hey, whatever it's worth, that's just a bonus. Didn't even put it on the screen because there's just a lack of clarity here that we look and say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, then, as we would look at this scripture, then what do we see? Well, God does tell us. He does tell us about beings who are other dimensional beings, if you want to say it that way, beings from another dimension, from a heavenly realm. Hey, these are angels and demons. And so we get a chance to look through this book, and one of the things we actually discover in the Word of God is they are very involved in our world. Like, they have always been, and affect things in our world in ways that are just, we're seeing them. I mean, the Bible tells us about these beings who are interacting with mankind. It tells us that they can show up here, and that even in their kind of being here, they can be recognized and even kind of appear as people. You know, it tells us in Hebrews, you know, not to forget to entertain strangers, for so by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So this is built on the account, many of you guys know, in Genesis, where Abraham's there and God shows up with a couple angels. And it would seem from this and the passages that he didn't immediately know they were angels. He just kind of thinks they're travelers. And so he welcomes them with a hospitality that only afterwards does he kind of begin to figure out, like, okay, so like you are, yeah. But it's a wild thing. So angels can appear and even at times appear as humans or other perhaps things, but they can work in that way so they actually can interact with our world. Why don't I just kind of dive into the weirdest part of it and just say, so the Bible tells us not only are they involved, but if you take scripture and their interactions with the world, there was a space, maybe never repeated, Bible students debate about this, where not only did they interact, but they had sexual relations with women and actually, you know, bore children from that in an incredibly weird and wild way. Hey, I'm just going to read the passages to you, make a few comments about it, and then if you have questions later, I won't answer them. No, I'm just kidding. I'll give it my best shot, but hey, just think this through for a moment. So it says, now it came to pass in Genesis 6 when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them that the sons of God. So that's a phrase. That's a phrase that refers to angels. So that's a phrase that refers to angels and demons, these that are there. It's not a term about people. I mean, one of the things that every now and then Bible students, if I can use that term loosely, people who look at the Bible will say, well, no, actually, that's just the godly line of maybe Seth. It doesn't work because that doesn't fit either the language or the account. No, it tells us that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they were beautiful and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So there's this crazy kind of interaction between angels, fallen angels, and mankind. And it tells us that they were giants on the earth in those days. And afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and these were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So it's a wild account. I mean, here's this place that their offspring literally were giants. And so you get the stories. I mean, Goliath, you get the stories of Og, you know, who's, you know, some 10 feet tall kind of thing and has, you know, this massive bedstand when Joshua comes to wipe him out of the land. You get these stories of literally giants. Kind of crazy thing, and it kind of works even into mythology. I mean, some of the Greek mythology and all the weird stuff built on some of these things that are true. I mean, this was what it was. It was this wild, weird thing. Now, God punishes it, so much so that it tells us in 2 Peter, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So the angels that do this, God judges them immediately. He puts them into a realm, hell, or the Greek word Tartarus, in the midst of it, where they find themselves reserved there. Like God, in one sense, just kind of says, hey, you cross the line. Like, that's not a line I'm going to let you cross with mankind. And he places them in this, you know, kind of holding space that's waiting there for the end times judgment. Jude would say the same thing. It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. So they kind of cross this line into humanity. He's reserved for everlasting chains under darkness for judgment of the great day. Wild, weird story, account of it. Now, maybe never repeated. Again, many who look on this think that nothing that's happening today is in that sense kind of, you know, a move to that again. Though it's, again, still just recognizing that's a part of the story. And so it's not altogether surprising that stories of abductions, of stories of these things, sometimes kind of cross into these territories in the midst of it. And lots of questions about that, but it's enough for us to know, okay, that's weird, you know, and yet true, and just yet recognizing the connection that can happen. They're kind of creating these that kind of the Hebrew word Nephilim, kind of the giants in the midst of that, and all that that would be. Well, again, as we gaze on that, this is not the only part of the story, right? I mean, we think of through everything, and the Bible tells us how much demons actually still affect mankind. So outside of that story, that account in Genesis 6, we have demonic possession. We have them controlling people. We have Jesus who comes on the scene, and as you read the Gospels, he is unique in this capability. I mean, in the sense that it finds itself being exposed everywhere. I mean, if you're a reader of the Old Testament, you would find yourself thinking, boy, it's almost never mentioned. It's not that it wasn't there, but now Jesus comes on the scene both exposing and dealing with it in a glorious way that would drive out these demons that can possess people. For us, again, just saying it very, very clearly, the biblical understanding of possession, that can only happen to an unbeliever. That can never happen to a believer. A believer cannot be possessed. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so we can't, you know, have that, although we can be impacted by lies, which we'll talk about more in a moment. But that's not ours. But they can do that to the world. I mean, here's this wild thing. I mean, I just want you to think about it for a moment. So here are these beings from another realm who can take up residence and control people. And can control them in a way that sometimes when you read through the gospel, it's just scary. I say that, again, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to try to say it right now. Those who would look on anything that there is right now dealing with contacting aliens or those who are looking for them, it's a wild thing that it looks exactly the same way. That people, you know, seek to contact demons. And so maybe that was your story. Maybe you had that in your background. You know, people who, you know, tried to contact demons through Ouija boards or other spaces and kind of had these, you know, trying to make contacts. And that does happen. Today, that's happening with aliens. There are people who you can pay money to take you out into a desert and try to help you get into an altered state so you can have a contact with an alien. They make that part of the marketing of our world today. And I just want you to look on that and think, that really looks the same. Like, this is how you contact a demon, and this is how you contact an alien. They look the same to me. Like they look like they're doing the same thing. And that's a scary thing. I mean, that just ought to be there. Well, much, much more. But we continue to look on that and think, well, not only is there angels and demons that impact our world. Jesus tells us that they're ministering spirits, or tells us in Hebrews they're ministering spirits to minister to us. They affect our world. So we actually find out, you know, in Ephesians where it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. For it tells us that there are principalities and powers that work in the heavenly realm. Like, they affect nations. You can read through the book of Daniel and find out he's interceding for even nations, and he gets this window that there's these demonic beings and angelic beings who are kind of contending over Greece and contending over things that are there, and you just recognize, boy, this is bigger than we probably understand. That the role of angels and demons in our world, we're not talking about some isolated weird thing, we're talking about something that is far more pervasive than we may need to, that someone understand. And so it should just help us to look and think, well, I think that's what it is. In fact, I'll even toss in one other thing under this category. So I just want to tell you that demons explain UFOs. It's not the other way around. So the Bible tells us some pretty crazy things about angels and demons, right? Like, we've already talked about a few, right? And then sometimes there's these wild encounters. Ezekiel would have to be among them. So Ezekiel has this encounter with God, with his presence, and with angels. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, I'll just read a little of this with you, not all of it. And it says, as for the likeness of these living creatures that he's already kind of been introduced to, these are angels, seraphim, presence angels in God's presence. Their appearance was like burning coals of fire. Their appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright. And out of the fire went lightning, and the living creatures ran back and forth in the appearance of a flash of lightning. And so you have these angelic beings that are just gloriously moving in power. And he says, I looked and behold the living creatures, and there was a wheel on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces and the appearance of wheels and their workings like the color of beryl, and all four of them had the same, and the appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I mean, I'm just, you know, I don't know how good your imagination is. This one's hard for, like, it's just wild. Like, you know, they're seeing these angelic beings, their glory. They got these wheels that are kind of spinning and moving side by side in the midst of it. And when they moved, they went towards one of the four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. For their rims, they were so high that they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes, and all around four of them. We gaze on this wild scene, and again, I don't know how much you've read Ezekiel, you process that through. It's just kind of wild, but every now and then, you might meet somebody. I have. Where somebody will say, well, you know, Jim, those aren't angels. Those are UFOs. Like, this is them meeting, you know, aliens. And I just got to have this conversation. I said, no, you're wrong. Because this thing's telling me the truth. And so it's letting me know these are angels. And if you think you see something like this, I can tell you what it is. I can tell you that's an angel. That's not a being from another planet. That's not an extraterrestrial life form. No, the Bible tells us, you know, that when we think about these things, that these are incredibly real. So demons and angels, so much a part of our world. So much a part of our world. And as we process this through, a couple key things to think through in the midst of this. So aliens. One of the things that's been part of the story, that's a part of think about Spielberg and his old movie. Some of you remember it from decades ago, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. His new one, Disclosure Day, both playing on some of the same story of these alien abductions, of these aliens who abduct people and kind of have these encounters with people. It's a big kind of part of the story in the midst of it. But one of the wild things is that in the midst of these abductions, there are incredible numbers of stories of people who started to be abducted and called on the name of Jesus, and they stopped. Not just by a few. I mean, I think it was in the hundreds. I got to meet one of the authors last week. Again, I'd met him before. He's been in Roswell a number of times. He's actually in the movie that I'm in as well, just the Alien Intrusion. And Joe Jordan, he, you know, has interviewed this, and he's kind of made this one of his things where, you know, he's written books with, you know, 60, I think 100 in some of the books, stories of people who had this experience. Like, they were about to feel like they were being abducted, and they called on the name of Jesus, and it stopped. And I'm just telling you, that all by itself is like, well, that's interesting. I don't think that's an alien. Like, I think those were demons, and it's not a small space. I mean, we're not talking again, hey, this was three encounters. We're talking again hundreds of people who've kind of had this experience. And so, hey, he's got a great kind of, you can read his books or kind of find it. If you need to find any of that, you can let me know. But all by itself, it helps to see that. So let's take that and make sure, as we're thinking this through, that we apply it again to this idea of aliens. And one of the things that the Bible tells us about aliens is not, I'm sorry, not aliens, sorry, excuse me, make my words clear. It tells us about angels and demons in their work that is that demons are liars. That they're very deceptive in what they're doing. So not only do they kind of interact, but the Bible helps us to think through and wants us to think through that when we think through demons, that they lie, that they work in the midst of it. In 1 Timothy 4, it says, the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It says, in the last days, there are going to be people who begin to turn aside, and they're going to buy a lie that demons are feeding. They're going to buy a lie that that these deceiving spirits are kind of pushing. And that's just a big part of it to understand. This is what they do. Like, they lie. In fact, when Paul was talking about it, when we think about Satan, he told us there in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose ends will be according to their works. It's just not surprising that Satan, who masquerades as an angel of light, like that's partly what he wants to be received as. His kind of, you know, big end goal going to be the Antichrist, who's going to come on the scene, and he wants it to be this, hey, receiving it this way, but he's lying. He's masquerading, like that's what he does. And so Paul's like, it doesn't surprise us that this is kind of what people who are under him do the same thing. Like, they masquerade. They pretend to be things that are not to lead people astray. In 2 Thessalonians, if you want to read a chapter more on it, you should read maybe all of chapter 2 later, but he talks a little bit about the end times and kind of what we're expecting and how all this is going to play out in those days. And he says, the coming of the lawless one, which is the devil, but probably even very specifically the Antichrist, being Satan's kind of man that's going to come on the scene in the last days. This lawless one is according to the working of Satan with power and signs and lying wonders and all unrighteous deception. Like, this is what Satan does. So this is what his man's going to do. And so this is what they do. They lie and try to show things. They try to show power. They try to show signs and lying wonders. And he does this among those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It is part of this understanding that Jesus would warn us about. He said, you know, it's such a deception that if it were possible, you know, even the elect would find themselves going away with it. That's always one of those, like, if it were possible. And there's a little bit here that tells us, you know, the thing that keeps us from buying into the lies is because we love the truth, because we love this. He says they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And the idea is that this book leads us to Jesus, but this book also protects us. So it's like, well, that's not what this says. You know, that's not what this says. You know, and because that, the lie that comes down the line would be when we'd say, that's not what this says. If something's going to contradict this, we're not going to believe that. And so I just, without spending a bunch of time on it, want to tell you that it's incredibly possible. Again, the Bible doesn't say that one of the lies that, you know, Satan is doing is aliens, but it seems to fit the bill for everything in there. And so I'm just trying to tell you what you should be able to understand. It's like, okay, if this is demonic, it's a lie. If this is what demons are producing, if this isn't, you know, beings from another planet, which it makes no sense.